things because we want to put it into our own power. And God, we're so grateful that that's not true. That's not, nothing is in our power. God, all we have to do is trust in what you have for us. So we thank you, and I pray for today's message that we would have ears to hear. God, we just open up our hearts to you this service, and we pray that you just do mighty things, and we expect mighty things from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're privileged this morning to have Luke Wong, Pastor Luke Wong, come to share the Word of God with us. Luke was born in Hong Kong, but his mother tongue is French. So anybody who parlez-vous français, sorry, probably butchered that, but you can practice a little French with Luke this morning because he grew up in France. And later, he moved to New York and lived and was educated and worked there for many years. His wife, Amy, is with us this morning as well. She's in the Sunday school hour in the Chinese side, but she grew up in Taiwan, and Luke and Amy met in New York. And we introduced you to them last week, actually, and the Lord put a burden on their hearts. And they sold what they had and moved to Asia and have had a ministry in Asia for the last 16, 17 years. And so we're privileged to have him with us this morning. Luke has three daughters. His oldest is married, and I understand you've just become a grandfather. When did that happen, brother? A few months ago. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. And he also has two daughters who are attending Baylor University right here in Texas. And so it's always a joy for him to come back to Texas so he can spend time with family, but also with the family of God. And so we're glad you can share with us this morning. Would you welcome Luke as he comes to share God's word with us this morning?
Good morning. And one of the advantages of being Asian is you don't look your age. I'm a grandfather. Can you believe it? I was in New York a few months ago. We were helping our daughter, and I went to buy some liquor for her, and I got carded. And the cashier said, "Can I see some ID?" I'm like, "Do I look that young?" She said, "Yes, you do." Anyway. I'm glad that our maturity is not defined by how old we look, because maturity is really the topic for this morning. Let's read together the passage from Matthew chapter 28. I think some of us, if not most of us, are familiar with this passage. It's called the Great Commission, and hopefully most of you or many of you have memorized it, right? So if you have memorized it, let's review it. What does it say here? It says, "Therefore go and shall we..." Let's read it together. Can you see it? It's kind of small. For those of you who have 20/20 vision, let's read it together. And if not, hopefully you have it memorized. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is able to pierce to the depth of our soul. And Father, so this morning I pray that you would use your word to speak to us, that, Lord, we would worship you even through the way we listen, for you are worthy of praise. As we sang earlier, Jesus, you are worthy of our praise. worthy of honor and glory. And so, Lord, we worship you even in how we listen to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. A man went to his 30-year-old college reunion, and then when he came back, he was extremely frustrated, very upset, and his wife asked him, "What happened?" He replied, "It is not what happened, it is what didn't happen. You know, most of my classmates from 30 years ago, they haven't changed. They haven't really grown. They drive different cars now. They wear different clothes. But they still have the same old bad habits. They really haven't changed and grown." And so he says, "No, honey, please, if you see me ever being stagnant and not growing, you know, kick me in the rear. Help me to keep moving forward." Growth or maturity is, I think, one of the most important topics that we should be concerned with. Why do I say that? Because if you think about it, a lot of the problems in this world are really caused by people's immaturity. People not growing and being immature. For example, some of you are married, most of you are not, but as you will learn, one day, once you get married, you'll realize that a lot of the problems in marriage stem from people's immaturity. Next year, I'll be married 30 years. And I remember when I first got married, my wife and I, we were so immature. And our marriage was in big trouble because we were so immature, especially my wife, you know. She's not here today, so I can say that. She's somewhere else. So, I mean, she's, I think, with one of the Sunday schools. So don't tell her I said that. But seriously, I was very mature. I know I was very mature. She's 1 year younger than me. I'm just 1 year older than her. But, you know, scientifically, they've shown that male tend to mature later in life. And so she was definitely a lot more mature than I was. And because of my immaturity, you know, we struggled in our marriages for the first, I would say, 5 years. It was really hard 5 years. Because of immaturity, the things we would say, I would say, and the way I would think, and the way I would react, and my emotions, very immature now thinking back. And not just in marriage, we're in a church, you know, a lot of the problems that I tell you, I've visited hundreds of churches, and we've been working with churches, training churches on discipleship. And one thing we've come to realize is that oftentimes problems in churches, when churches split, it is not so much because of theological differences. It is often because of people's immaturity, spiritual immaturity. People in positions that they should not be in because they're not spiritually mature enough to be in that position. A lot of the problems in church, in the world, in school, and your home really stem from immaturity. So that is why I felt compelled this morning to really talk to you about maturity or growing. And the best Bible passage that talks about growth, not in a literal sense or not directly, but in a very, you know, if you go deep in it, it really is about growth. And that is, you know, those two verses we've just read or recited, the Great Commission. I don't know if you realize that, but it is really all about growth. It is God's secret to spiritual growth. For the past 17 years, we've been in China. And I've come to realize, as we've been developing people, we've had tens of thousands of young people come through our home. Thousands of them come to Christ, and we would disciple them and teach them and grow them. And more than 40 of them eventually quit their jobs to enter into full-time ministry. And what we've come to realize is that the Great Commission, as we responded to the Great Commission, it is truly the key, the secret, God's secret for spiritual growth. And that is why Jesus gave us this Great Commission before he left. He says, I want you to go, to first go and make disciples. You see, the key verb in these two verses is the verb to make disciples. That is the one imperative verb. And the other verbs are supporting verbs. It is really giving us telling us how to make disciples. And it says, first, you need to go. You need to go. In other words, you need to leave your comfort zone. If you want to make disciples, you first need to leave your comfort zone. And it's interesting because you've heard of Abraham, right, in the Bible? The first thing God says to Abraham is what? Go, go, go. And I want you to leave your family of origin. I want you to go. I want you to leave your comfort zone. 17 years ago, my wife and I, back then our oldest was just over 5 years old. Our youngest was three. I think at three, and I mean, they're all a year and a half apart. So barely three, four and a half, and I think six. And so we were still living in New Jersey at the time, in the suburbs of New York, pursuing the American dream. As Pastor Wei said, I grew up in France, born in Hong Kong, left Hong Kong when I was 6 months old, moved to France, when I was 6 months old, and grew up there. So I was speaking French and learning the French culture. And at 17, I left my family, moved to the States. And why do you move to the States? Because you want to pursue the American dream, right? What is the American dream? The American dream is, do you know what the American dream is? What is the American dream? Make money. Yeah. Some of you don't really understand my English because I have an accent, right? Make money. What else? Buy a nice house. Buy a nice car, right? Have a suburban home. That's what we did. We had an investment property. We were pursuing the American dream, but we felt like, you know, our lives were becoming more and more empty. And really the reason for that is because we were not growing. We had become too comfortable. That is the problem with pursuing the American dream. Nothing wrong with pursuing the American dream. And I think, you know, we should pursue the American dream. But the problem with it is that once you become too comfortable, you become stagnant and you stop growing. And that was God's warning to the Israelites in the desert. He says, you know, when you go and possess the land, be careful that you don't become too comfortable. And then you forget me. So we were pursuing the American dream, and my dream was beside the American dream, because when I first married my wife, I was an engineer. I worked for IBM Research for 12 years, and my wife was an attorney. She was a prosecutor. And when I first married her, I thought, hey, I hit the jackpot, because lawyers make a lot of money, right? And so my dream was that one day I would come home, and it would be my birthday, and so she'll throw me a surprise birthday party, and she'll give me a small gift. Why? It's a small gift because in it will be a key, and she'll open the front door. Will be, you know, parked in front of our house. Will be a brand new BMW. Happy birthday, honey. That was my dream. But God had other plans for us. He says, "No, no, no. I want you to grow. I want you to grow. So I want you to go. Go. Where?" Well, how about China? It was very clear that God wanted us to be in China. He made it very clear. So many signs pointed to that. So eventually we both quit our jobs and we moved to China. And you know, at that time, I really didn't speak Chinese. I look Chinese, but like some of you, you know, you guys are ABCs, right? American-born Chinese. I was not even French-born Chinese. I was Hong Kong-born Chinese, but I didn't speak Chinese because I grew up in France. So some of you are American-raised Chinese, ARC. Do you know all the acronyms? Right? Some of you are ABCs, okay? That means most of you probably, if you're an ABC, most likely you speak very little Chinese. You understand some Chinese. You understand the Chinese that your parents use when they want to, you know, say bad things about, no. when your parents want to discipline you or whatever, right? They may use Chinese. The Chinese may come out. But some of you don't really speak Chinese, and I was like that. I was a French raised Chinese, and then moved to the States, didn't really speak Chinese, and God says, go to China. I'm like, really? Yeah, I want you to grow. And I had to learn a new culture. I had to learn a new language. I still remember, speaking of a new culture. When I first moved to China, we had to buy furniture. And every time I go out and buy new furniture, I need people to deliver. And using my American or European concept, if I set a time for you to deliver, that means at that time you'll come to my house and deliver the product. And so I would set a time, and then I would wait at home. I remember the first time I waited for a whole hour. The delivery person didn't come. So I called them, and I spoke a little bit Chinese. I said, no, where are you? No, 你在哪里? And so they replied, 马上到了. If you know Chinese, 马 means horse, right? 上 means on the horse. 到了 means arriving. I'm on the horse, I'm arriving, right? It's an idiom to say, no, anytime now. So I'm like, oh, okay, so he's going to be here anytime. So I wait, half an hour later, still not here. So I call again, where are you? 马上到了. I'm like, is he for real? Okay, let me just wait. No, let me do the Christian thing and be patient. And so I wait, half an hour later, 马上到了. Finally, I eventually learned my lesson. After a few times of stuff like that, I learned my lesson that they have a very different concept of time. And so now I no longer wait for delivery people. I just go out and do my own thing. I wait for them to call me and ask me, where are you? And I'll say, 马上到了. You have to grow, right? I had to learn and adapt. But anyway, so, these first few years being in China, learning a new culture, a new language, I grew so much. And I realized, if I didn't leave my comfortable life in the States, I probably wouldn't have learned to be more multicultural. I was already multicultural, but now I was truly even more multicultural. I had the Chinese culture. I'm very comfortable in the Chinese culture. And I grew. And not just grew in terms of my understanding of different culture, but I grew spiritually in so many ways. Because I was willing to leave my comfort zone. So I don't know where you are at today. Are you in a very comfortable lifestyle? And do you feel like maybe you're stuck in terms of your own spiritual growth? And then maybe God is saying to you today, hey, perhaps quit your job or quit school and move to China, but perhaps you need to be a little bit more uncomfortable. And I don't know what that means for you specifically, but perhaps that's what God is asking you to do. Not only that, not only did Jesus say, no, go, leave your comfort zone, what else did he say? Now, how do you make disciples? Secondly, you baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, I want you to go to leave your comfort zone and to look and seek out those who are lost. Seek those who are lost. Because if you really want to grow spiritually, first leave your comfort zone, then seek out those who are lost. In some ways, you have to force yourself to do that because the lost people are all around us. But I know for some of us, or for many of us, living here comfortably in the States, we don't want to seek out those who are lost because it's risky. I remember, when I was living in New Jersey, I barely ever shared the gospel with people. My life was, go to work, Sunday go to church, do my church thing, right? I was serving in church, but I didn't have any opportunity, or I didn't look for opportunity to share the gospel with people. And yet, these people are all around us, including in the church. So when I first moved to China, within the first year, I shared the gospel to more people than I ever had in my whole lifetime. I would say, no, not within the whole year, within the first month, I would say. Because we started the ministry from our home as soon as we landed. 5 students came because my wife was teaching at the law school. Within 3 months, we had 50 students, college students, crammed in our house. Within a year, we had over 100 students crammed in our house. And eventually, 200 to 300 students. We rented another house next to us, and we were using extension rooms and camera and whatnot. And every week, 200 to 300 students crammed in our house. And yet, even then, you know, sometimes I would feel uncomfortable looking for those who are lost. Even though they came, I would be uncomfortable talking to them. Why? Because I'm an introvert by nature. You know about personality difference, right? Some people are extroverted. My wife is very extroverted. And some people are introverted, meaning you know, that they tend to be shy. Even though I'm standing up here speaking, and I'm very shy. If I go to a very foreign environment, I don't know too many people, I feel very uncomfortable. So now I'm feeling very uncomfortable. but you know, that's me. That's me. So I remember the first year I prayed to God. I made this very simple prayer. I said, God, would you send some people, maybe 2 people, to me for me to disciple them? For me to disciple them so that I can grow. You know, God is a God who answers prayers, so be careful how you pray. Within a few weeks, this young kid, a college student, I mean, now to me he's a kid, but at that time, you know, a young college student came to me and says, Luke, I'm ready to become a Christian. I'm like, whoa, I haven't even shared the gospel with him yet. You know, he's like, I'm ready to become a Christian. Can you lead me to Christ? Can you lead me in a prayer of confession? Then a few weeks later, another young college student came to me and said the same thing. Luke, I'm ready to be a Christian. How much money do I have to pay? Because in their mindset, growing up in a communistic environment, they're thinking, oh, to join anything, you have to pay a fee. It's like joining a club. So I'm like, no, you don't have to pay anything. You know, come. And so I led both of them to Christ. And then after that, I basically said to them, hey, you guys are new believers, and I know you guys have a lot of time because in China, college students have all the time in the world. And like here, you know, here in high school, you usually have all the time in the world, and in college, you just start working. In China, you work really hard in high school, and then in college, you're like, no, you breeze, right? And so I said, no, you guys have probably plenty of time on your hand. Would you be willing to come and meet with me 1 hour a week? And you know, we can read the Bible together, and then we can pray together. And if you have any questions, so they immediately agreed. And from there on, every week, once a week, for 1 hour, they would come to my house. We would meet in our gazebo downstairs, and we would pray, read the Bible together, and they had so many questions. How can you know for sure that God is for real? How do you know that the Bible is God's word? One of them was dating at that time before when he became a Christian. He's like, my girlfriend is not a believer yet. Should I break up with her? All kinds of questions. And oftentimes, I didn't have the answer. I didn't have a complete answer. So I'd say, hey, how about I'll go back and do some research, and I'll come back next week, and I'll tell you what the Bible says. Those 2 years when I met with them every week, not only did they grow, but you know who grew the most? Who grew the most? Yes, Luke. Me. I grew so much. I grew so much. And in the same way, today, I guarantee you, if you go out or if you look around you and seek out someone you can walk with for a season, and I'm not saying, you have to share the gospel, present the gospel, just find someone and say, hey, let's walk together for a season. Let's meet together. If you're in school, maybe it's someone at school. You say, let's meet during the break once a week or after school. Or if you're working, hey, let's meet for coffee once a week. And let's journey together for a season. You can pray together, read the Bible together. ask questions together. And I guarantee you, you will grow. You will grow. And sometimes it's just a matter of praying a very simple prayer. God, can you send someone to me so that I can walk with that person for a season? Do you dare make that prayer? So not only do we need to leave our comfort zone and then seek out those who are lost or walk with someone for a season, what else did Jesus say? What else did Jesus say? He says, now I want you to, okay, now go baptize and then what? Teach. Teach them to obey everything that I have instructed you. How many of you are teachers here? Wow, a young teacher. Very good. Teacher, some of you. Let me tell you. I should rephrase my question. How many of you have been teaching or have the experience of teaching? Oh, good. Many more of you. Because, you know, there is a difference. Because if you look at the Bible, in the Bible is very interesting, I think, in terms of this concept of teaching. In Hebrews, if you can go to the next the slide. In Hebrews, it says, you know, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you ought to be teaching, but you're still drinking milk. In other words, it seems like the Bible is equating maturity with teaching, right? It says you ought to be growing and now you should be teaching. And yet in James, let's go to the next slide. In James chapter 3, verse 1, it says, let not many of you be teachers. Wait a minute. I just read the Bible says I ought to be teaching because it's a sign of maturity. But then here in James it says, don't let many of you be teachers. What's going on? Is the Bible contradicting itself? What do you think? Those of you who are teachers or are teaching. Well, it's the difference between what I said earlier, being a teacher and teaching. You see, here in James, he's talking about the position of a teacher. Don't let many of you strive to become teachers. And then in Hebrews, it says, it's really talking about the function of teaching. All of you should strive to be teaching. Because, to be honest, when you teach other people, the person who grows the most is not the student, but those of you who've had the opportunity to be teaching before, those of you who've raised your hands as teaching, it's the teacher, right? It's the person teaching. Because you have to do research, you have to prepare your lesson, you know, you grow the most. And that is why Jesus says, no, I want you to be teaching. Leave your comfort zone, seek out those who are lost, and then go and teach them. Teach them. And when you teach, it doesn't have to be in the position of a teacher and say, hey, I'm the teacher, you need to listen to me. No. It's like how I approached those two young college students. Hey, walk with me for a season. I didn't say, let me teach you. I said, let's read the Bible together. Let's pray together. And I'll try to answer your questions. And that is, I think, the attitude we need to have if we want to grow. We need to seek out someone else so that we can be not in the position of teaching, but so that we can play the function of we can exercise our function of teaching. And then finally, what did Jesus say? He says, make disciples by leaving your comfort zone, by seeking the lost, and not baptize them, seek out the lost and baptize them, and then teach them. And then finally, Jesus makes a promise to his disciples, to us. He says, lo, I will be with you until the end of the ages. In other words, I'll never leave you. I'll be there with you. However, like any promise in Scripture, it is not something that we receive passively. When God makes a promise, it implies that we need to do something about it. Because you see, God, if you think about it logically, God will not force anyone to do anything, right? He's not that kind of God. He's not going to force himself on you and say, I'm going to be with you regardless whether you want it or not. If you choose to leave and to draw away from God, he's not going to force himself on you. So when God says, I'll be with you, it implies that we would want to be with him as well. If we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. In other words, his promise is not that he will force himself on us. His promise is that he will always be there when we draw near. If we choose to draw near to him, he will be there. That's his promise. And that's really the key to spiritual growth as well. Because sometimes you could be so busy with life. Even in ministry, I tell you, in ministry, you're so busy. You're so busy. Now, when we first moved to China, that was the busiest time of my life, really. Because I had a job at that time. Now, we didn't join any sending mission organization. We went on our own because we wanted to experience God. And we were thinking we'll be there for 1 year. But God says, no, 1 day to me is like 1,000 years. So this is our 18th year in China. And so initially we thought 1 year, this is our 18th year. But, you know, when we moved there, I had a job, full-time job, working to earn an income. And then we started this ministry from our home, and students started coming, you know, in mass. And then we were homeschooling our three kids. So we were so busy, and I remember for a while I'm like thinking, you know, if I don't find time out of my weekly schedule to draw near to God, I'm going to die quickly spiritually. My soul is going to dry up and I'm going to die. And so I intentionally, every Monday, because weekends, you know, that's my busiest time of the week, I intentionally every Monday morning I would take out 3 hours of my schedule, and I would go behind my house on top of a mountain and spend my time there to draw near to God. And I have to say that has been my salvation. And it's during those times that I learned the importance of personal Sabbath, and I realized why God made it a priority for us to have a Sabbath. It's one of the Ten Commandments, right? It says, keep the Sabbath day holy. In other words, make sure you keep the Sabbath. Make sure you find the time to be alone with God, to draw near to him. In fact, the more I read the Old Testament, the more I realize how important that is. God, have you read Leviticus? Leviticus is one of the hardest books to read, because it's talk about all the sacrificial laws and everything. And sometimes we're like, you know, that has nothing to do with me anymore, because we are not required to offer burnt sacrifices. And so I find that most Christians, they tend to skip Leviticus. But the reality is, you know, most Jewish people, traditionally, when a Jewish person, a Jewish child begins their formal education, the first book they have to learn is the book of Leviticus. Why? Because Leviticus is all about how God is holy. Therefore, you must be holy. And then it emphasizes the fact that, especially in the beginning, that you need to keep the Sabbath holy. And if you don't, it even says, no, you should be condemned to death. That's how serious it is for not keeping the Sabbath. Because, you know, not because God, no. It's really to accentuate the severity of not keeping the Sabbath. Because ultimately, if you don't draw near to God, your soul will dry up and you will die spiritually. And when I say draw near to God, I'm not saying, you know, just you need to read your Bible every day. Because sometimes to me, you know, I find a lot of Christians, as I'm teaching the young people, I find that oftentimes, especially in the beginning, they would just read the Bible as if it's a, you know, it's like it's something on their to-do list, right? Oh, I've read my Bible, check. But they're not really gaining or learning anything from their time in Scripture. In fact, they're just reading through it to finish a task. And so I tell them, I say, you need to learn to meditate on God's Word. That's how you can draw near. Meditate on his word. As you're reading scripture, you know, maybe there's a word that sticks out or a verse that sticks out, then meditate. Repeat it in your mind. Now memorize it and think it through. What is it saying to me? What is God trying to say to me? Why? Why is this word here? Why is this word so important? And I know some of you have read the Great Commission many times, but perhaps what I'm saying to you today about leaving your comfort zone and whatnot, it's probably brand new to you because it came to me one day as I was meditating on the Great Commission. So familiar passages, as you read them, as you meditate upon it, God will speak to you. His word is rich, is living and active. Meditate on God's word, then draw near to him. He will draw near to you. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are today. God's desire is for you to grow spiritually. Just like our parents, our physical parents want us. And I just became a grandfather, and I'm looking at my daughter feeding her baby, and her greatest desire is for her baby to grow, to eventually mature, just like my parents' desire for me was as well, is to grow and to mature and to have, when they have my own family, right, and give birth. In the same way, our Heavenly Father, his greatest desire is for us to, after we're born spiritually, for us to grow and to mature spiritually so that we can bear fruit. So that we can live an abundant life. Not so that we can just live the American dream. That is not enough. Having a big house is not enough. Having money is not enough. Having a job is not enough. Getting married and having kids is not enough. You need to have spiritual fruits. Having spiritual children. And that comes as you mature and as you bear fruit. And that is why Jesus, before leaving, he says, that is the most important commandment I'm going to give you before I leave. And that is for you to leave your comfort zone, to seek out those who are lost, to teach them, then to draw near to me. Because when you do that, you will grow and you will bear fruit. Growth doesn't happen apart from Christ. As Colossians 1 says, not everything has been created through him, by him, and for him. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, I will abide in you. And then you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you have nothing. You are nothing. So abide in me. Draw near to me. So what is God saying to you today? I know what I'm saying. I'm not saying you need to quit your job and move to China. That's not what I'm saying. What is God saying to you today? Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit who speaks to us through your word. And I know, Lord, you're speaking to